You're listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Sunday night, February 19th, 2023. Live every Sunday from the facilities of Ocelli.com. 10 p.m. to midnight. It's Eastern Time. It is the first hour, Age of Transitions. Second hour, Uncle the Broadcast. Thank you for listening on the Ocelli Radio Network. And my website is theageoftransitions.com. You can go there, pick up the podcast, or support the show directly. Have copies of my book, Revolve Man, Scientific Rise to Godhood. Have t-shirts of the shows available. Have the Patreon campaign. And have the affiliate links as well. So if you're ever buying a book online, consider buying through bookshop.org. Click through the links at my website. And I'll get a small kickback for whatever you buy there. Also, if you're thinking about doing a podcast yourself, think about using Libsyn. That's what I use for my podcast hosting service. And it makes it very easy to go out to Apple Podcasts and just every other podcatcher you can think of, or even posting YouTube videos without even having to do it yourself. You just do one you just post your audio file and that automatically does that. You can set up a lot of cool stuff like that through Libsyn. So it's very easy, convenient, and you can get 2 months for free if you use my promo code Franz. That's Libsyn. You can also find a link to that at theageoftransitions.com. So thank you everybody for your continued support, for continuing to listen, for everything. I do appreciate it. And again, it's a live show tonight on Ocelli.com, the Ocelli Radio Network. Going strong, doing good. Again, I mentioned last week, if you're thinking about being an advertiser, if you want to advertise on the network or even specifically on this show or Uncle the Podcast, I believe the email is ads@ocelli.com, or you can contact Chuck and he can set you up with that. So that's a good way to help support this network as well. So keep mentioning that, because that's big. If you're thinking about that, do get a hold of Chuck on that one. The call-in number tonight is 319-527-5016. You can also come on the show through Skype. If you do send a message to Chuck on Skype, it's Charles Ocelli there. Let's see. Yeah, so Charles Ocelli is Skype. Send him a, type him a message. He'll bring you on. And then, the call-in number is always 319-527-5016. So yes, we are live tonight. I'm being told I have too much bass. I could turn, with a turn of a knob, I can turn my bass down a little. How about that? There. I might be less bassy now. That's what my voice needs to sound, more high-pitched than normal. there. Maybe that did something. Uncle would be proud of me with my knob turning right here, perhaps. Leave it there. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. So we'll see. We'll see. But I think all is well. I mean, I just wanted to use the start of the show here to do a little bit of catch up with people and updates and things like that, actually. Thank you, everybody, again, for your continued support. I have been posting on Patreon much. My apologies for that. I've been I'll talk more about my situation in a minute, but it's nothing exciting. Also, Mr. Flash, I've got your shirt in the yard now being dyed. I dyed it last week, and I thought it was going to be done, but I wanted to do another pass on another color, so I'm doing it again to put one more color on there. It looked really good, so I think it's going to look even better now. I'm getting some more orange in it. I think it's going to look really good, so I'll get a package sent and send it out to Australia there. I have some mail actually to send to Chuck. To my friends in Brazil, I tried to send, so Ronald, I know that's not your name, but I'm going to use your name as Ronald now. I sent a package out to you a few months back. I sent you books, and I think there was some other stuff in there. I can't remember all I sent. There was a few things, but it got returned to me. So I was bummed out. I never sent it back, and I don't know if I emailed you about that, but I did receive a package back that I had sent to Brazil. It took a while for it to return to me. So I'm not sure what happened there. And also on the Portuguese Revolve front, I had wanted to make an ebook copy that I'd post like on Amazon stuff. I think what I'm going to do is just straight up put the PDF on my website available for free for people if they want a Portuguese version of the book Revolve. You can just get it for free on the website. So I think I'm going to do that. And the reason for that is I may still yet put an ebook up on Amazon and make it free, or maybe like 50 cents or a dollar or something like that. But honestly, I don't have time to do it. It's that simple. I just don't have the time to do anything like that right now. I don't. So what I'll do is, again, I'll post that. You're very nice to do that, and I've just been – I feel like I've – the past year or so, I just – all I've been doing is like letting people down, and it really makes me mad at myself, honestly, and I don't like it. And I don't have any excuse. My excuse is I am incredibly busy, which I feel isn't a good excuse, but it's true. It's so hard for me to even, I mean, just making it here to the microphone is honestly all I have at the moment. So but making it to the microphone on Sunday is I'm proud of myself and able to do that, but anything to do with the website, I've been falling behind for a while now. It's just kind of the way it is. So my apologies to everybody that I feel as though I have let down, and I'll probably continue to do that, but just, I guess, bear with me, I guess, is what I'm begging forgiveness from people. And I'm just, honestly, I'm in survival mode, and, you know, working a regular job. My schedule is not bad. I do the regular Monday through Friday thing, and that's good. I have weekends off, but again, I'm more or less working on the weekends, going out to the desert, getting the house set up. Almost done there, but I am quite literally working. I don't have much free time, very little, and lots of overtime during the week. So there's this extra time. It's just not there. So, you know, just a bunch of excuses I'm throwing out. Again, I'm in survival mode. I have been for a while. For the foreseeable future, I will continue to be in survival mode. So bear with me, everybody, as I continue, onward. You know, I'm not complaining about being in survival mode. I'm probably doing better than most people, because most people are, we're all in the same boat where we're just struggling just to survive whatsoever. So, you know, I am doing that too. So, solidarity for what that's worth. And, you know, I don't know. I hope for brighter days in the future, and to spend more time doing these things, like doing my online stuff. But I've said in past weeks, like, I barely even go online, and honestly, I kind of enjoy that. That's true. I'm hardly ever online at all, which I think is overall a good thing, but it's also bad when it comes to keeping up with things here. So, again, apologies. But we will continue the show Sunday night, so Chelly.com, keep going. It's going to be what it is. I don't know how many guests I'll have. Nobody wants to talk to me anyway, so even if I tried to book them, they wouldn't come anyway. So, every now and then you get Godfrey Reggio show up, and those are the things that do. Those moments are the ones that are like, okay, this makes me feel good about myself, good about things, it's all right. It's okay. It is what it is. Again, I wouldn't want to talk to me if I were somebody, so that's all I'll say about that. Anyway, that's an update. Yes, those are, that's that. I don't know. Again, if you want to call in, 319-527-5016. Charles Dottocelli, type him a message. He'll bring you on. How about that? Those are call-in options. And, yeah, the age of transitions, as I always like to say, here we are, still in it, always in it. It's the way of things. This is the nature of our lives. We're wrapped up in this whirlwind that we really can't do a whole lot about. We just kind of have to go with it, more or less. And all of the big shots are making their moves, trying to position themselves, get their assets in place, get their investments all lined up, try to predict the future, see what's on the horizon, try to be a big shot and act cool because they saw something coming, or act like they warned everybody about something, or act as a savior. And, of course, we have Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google, of Alphabet, who has been, for the past few years, dabbling in the sphere of the U.S. military, rubbing shoulders with all the big shots there, looking over the DOD and its technological situation. And assessing it and finding that his findings are that it's not so great. The U.S. technological prowess is what Mr. Schmidt has to say overall. Okay, we're going to call her here at the head of the show, which is nice. So we'll go to the caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Jimmy James, calling from Boogie City, USA.
Cool. What's up, Jimmy?
Another day, another denial.
Oh, you're at work today?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad that money's coming in, if that's what you mean by that. I'm glad to hear that, Jimmy.
Every day is work for Jimmy James.
Fair enough.
You know that, Chuck.
I know it because I live it, brother. Believe me.
Yeah. It's the nature of our world. Yeah, you keep working until you can't anymore, and then do it some more anyway. It's the way we do things around this block.
Have I talked to you this year?
Yeah, you've been on the show. You've been on the show for sure. I want to say at least twice since the new year.
Really?
I believe so, yeah.
Because I know I missed 1 year. I slept through one show, and I know you missed last week. I had a weird thought, like, maybe we haven't even talked this year.
No, we definitely have. I know that. Yeah, well, it just seems like it's been a while.
That was an accident.
Boogie City? Did you just hear that?
That was an accident. I accidentally hit a piece of music. I hit Jungle Boogie. Sorry.
Yeah. Your Jungle Boogie, yeah.
Did you not hear that, Eric?
Yeah, no, I heard it. Yeah. That's good, yeah.
You didn't react to it.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just like a car driving by with a radio on. You know, it happens all the time. A car driving by with a radio on, it's like, oh, okay, I know that song, cool. Sometimes a motorcycle. I feel like when the motorcycles play their music really loud, it's really clear what they're listening to. You get that every now and again.
That's really weird. People with motorcycles with loud radios, that's really weird. I'm like, you should probably just, for one thing, you should be wearing crap on your ears to begin with. Why not with sound?
Yeah,
some people turn their bikes.
And
well, Aaron, do they do this in California? They turn their motorcycles into basically rolling speakers. Do they do that in California?
You mean where you actually see the speaker? Like it's a sound system, like a box for a speaker
I mean, like, it's so obvious that they have their speakers blasting off of the motorcycle so that it's being projected outward wherever they are. It fills the neighborhood with sound, like, on purpose. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen some pretty loud motorcycle sound systems, yeah. So okay. it happens. I feel it's not that common, but I've definitely seen it.
I don't know. It's the kind of thing I didn't used to see in Jersey, but once I came down south and I went to a couple other places, I saw it, and I was like, this is wild. It's like you've turned your bike into a rolling boombox for everybody to listen to, and it booms. I mean, and these guys, you know, it's generally not the rap guys, you know, with the boom. It's like the rock guys, you know, so guy rolls into the neighborhood and it's like, bang, you know, real loud, purposely projected outward, not just for the listening pleasure of the rider. I was just curious. Did they have that in Michigan too, Jimmy James, where people do that?
Sure, Tim, right, they do.
Okay, no, I just figured I'm asking because I haven't been to Michigan much, you know, that's why. So, okay, fair enough. All right, sorry, I just spoke in this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not gonna take it. Oh, boy.
Or they start playing the Eye of the Tiger like Nikki Haley did and Donald Trump did, right? Eye of the Tiger real loud. You know that dude's like at least 60.
What's the deal with the bikers and the 80s hair bands? I mean, there seems to be a connection. Am I wrong here?
Well, Survivor's not
every
exact,
time yeah. I see,
Survivor's not an 80s hair every band, time I, though, you know. Just for the record, Survivor's just a cheesy rock, you know, movie soundtrack band. Sly Stallone used a lot, right?
Yeah.
You know, super popular with Rocky III. And it's the Eye of the Tiger, it's the thrill of the fight. Everybody knows the song.
Yeah, they had one for Rocky IV, too. Was theirs Burning Heart? I think that was their song for Rocky IV. You know that song?
Yeah.
I like that one.
There's that one, yeah. There's that. Yeah, they did a couple of them. There was another one to a montage in there that's real famous too. Real super pop. But Survivor was just like the Rocky movie soundtrack band, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That and whatever Frank Stallone felt like throwing in too, you know. You got to give your brother work, I mean.
Yeah, I get it, yeah. Why not?
Interesting trivia fact. I think if I'm not mistaken, Mrs. O went to the same boarding school at one point that Sly Stallone had been an attendee at in Jersey at some point.
Interesting. Yeah.
So attendee. Does that mean he was like the tough guy?
Yeah, I wouldn't speak to that. I mean, he's Mr. Tough Guy now with his Tulsa King. He's supposed to be some mob guy now on, what is it, on Netflix or Hulu or something? No, wait. It's Paramount Network, maybe. Tulsa King, you know. He goes out to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma?
Yeah. He goes out to Oklahoma and apparently, you know, brings his mob ways from New York to Oklahoma.
Oh, okay, I see. Interesting.
And Sly Stallone is now not just, you know, He's playing a mob guy now, finally embracing his Italianism again, as he did with Rocky, right?
Yeah. So. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I mean, yes, Sylvester Stallone, some good stuff over the years, no doubt about it. The motorcycles, yeah, I definitely heard those. Yeah, what else, Jimmy? I know that we've talked this year, but what since last time? What do you got on your mind there?
Oh, you know what, Aaron? You just evoked an image for me, though, with the motorcycles real fast. I just want to throw this in. And the reason why this all connects intellectually is because during Rocky IV, right, he goes on a motorcycle run, Sly Stallone. And the Survivor song, I believe, is "There's No Easy Way Out."
No, that's Robert Tepper. That's Robert Tepper, No Easy Way Out.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. Robert Tepper's No Easy Way Out, and then Survivor's song on that soundtrack would be Burning Heart.
Okay.
With the burning heart just about to burst, there's a quest for answers and unquenchable thirst.
Okay.
In the darkest night, rising like a spire, In the burning heart, the unmistakable fire.
Look at Aaron with the lyrics off the top of his head. The other thing about that movie, though, that's kind of actually very cool is James Brown.
Living in America. That's right. It's Living in America, right?
Oh, I love the spectacle. I like that when they're in Russia.
Coast to coast.
Yeah.
Living in America. Yeah.
It's Apollo Creed is about to fight Dolph Lundgren, right?
Ivan Drago is the character, but Dolph Lundgren, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And Apollo Creed's kind of like having fun and like goofing around. He's got James Brown. And then he ends up getting killed. But, yeah, Ivan Drago, it gets real serious.
Yeah, which has led to a whole series of Creed movies, but, yeah. I think they're, what are they, on Creed 3 or 4 now?
I think so, yeah, they made a few of those.
Yeah. Apollo Creed's son comes back, you know, and Rocky trains him.
That's crazy, yeah.
The franchise that keeps on puking them out, you know. it's a beautiful thing. All right, sorry, I had to interrupt with that, though. But I think you're right about that. I remember the montage, you see. There was a big montage there where he's riding the motorcycle and, you know, trying to figure out, and then he goes to Russia and, you know, lives in the snow, and Paulie's pissed and falling in the snow, you know.
Paulie goes to Russia, too. I forgot. Yeah, he drags him over there, and he can't keep up or whatever.
And he brings the bald guy that used to be with Apollo, you know, Apollo's main man with him. They all get together and, you know, get vengeance for Apollo's death. You know?
I forgot about
that. Paulie!
I forgot about all that. Oh, man.
The best part of that whole, like, political thing is they're having the press conference, and Paulie goes... Yeah, you try it with me, big mouth. We don't keep people behind walls with guns. Huh? Remember that? That was hilarious. Like, why is Paulie on the dais for the boxing promotion, you know, press conference? But there he is.
Remember Paul Creed had like a Don King kind of guy with him, and when Paulie mouthed off something, he said, who's that? Al Capone?
Oh no! Yeah, that's in Rocky V because he has what is it? Union Kane is the recognized champion. He wants to fight you, Rocky Balboa. That's when he comes back from Russia, and and then Paulie starts saying something. And he goes, "Who's this? Al Capone?" He's George Carver Washington or something like that is the guy's name, right? And he's like the Don King character. Yeah, that's hilarious. That's in Rocky V, though.
I never saw that one. I didn't. After four, I don't think I've seen any.
That's got Tommy the Duke Morrison in it.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, Tommy the Duke Morrison was a real life boxer for a little bit. Allegedly, he's the nephew of John Wayne, and he was a heavyweight contender for a minute. White kid. Tommy shows up, and in that movie, plays Tommy Gunn. Is the name of the guy.
Yeah. Does he wear a tracksuit?
At a certain point, he wears a tracksuit. At another point, he actually winds up wearing Apollo's, you know, American flag trunks. Because Rocky gives them to him. And there's a whole, you know, thing. Because Rocky goes broke after they go to collect his money. Because somebody took advantage of him while he was in Russia and took all his money from him. So he's broke. And they have to auction everything off. And now Rocky's poor again. Right? That's the Rocky V premise. Spoiler for everybody. but if you haven't seen it, that's where that is.
Okay. Yeah.
That's great. Then he goes out. I liked that one because it just ended in a street fight between Tommy Gunn and Rocky. Right. Oh, you think you're tough? Come on, tough guy. And he just beats the crap out of him.
Right. Hey, Tommy, I didn't hear no bell.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, ain't no bells here, buddy.
It is kind of good. And in the end, you know, you lose, you finish, chump. The whole thing is like, it's ridiculous, but kind of funny, you know, but iconic. The whole series is iconic as part of Americana, so to speak, right?
Yeah, it's classic. It's classic.
Definitely.
I have to check out Five. Yeah, I've never seen that. And
well, then there's Rocky Balboa, where you know he's running a restaurant and Adrian's dead. You know, and then we begin the Creed movies, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah.
Like I said, I've yet to see those either.
Every couple of years, they puke another one out. You
know? Yeah.
Pretty soon, it'll be the grandson of Rocky, you know, just... Hey, yo, hey, Adrian. Oh, I got a girlfriend named Adrian now. I got a boyfriend. They'll probably make it transgender. I got a boyfriend named Adrian now.
You know,
you know, just
you gotta be inclusive.
Stick with the times. So, you know, Rocky's grandson will be a they or them, you know, boxing. It'll be does he box?
I have problems with my son. He's marrying someone, but it a girl.
Hey, yo, do I fight the in the girl league or the guy league? It doesn't matter. Adrian! Oh, man. Right,
if I get to choose, I think I prefer the girl league.
Man, we're doing this on this hour and messing up Aaron's show instead of waiting for the comedy and doing it with Uncle, right? Don't nobody tell Uncle we did comedy.
I don't know.
Don't anybody tell Uncle we did comedy.
Yeah, don't tell Uncle that we laughed on this hour or we will get in trouble for that.
Yes.
That's okay. All we got to do, and I think it'll be all right.
With that, I'm sorry to interrupt Jimmy James, but I love the Rocky. The Rocky movies are like a guilty pleasure of mine. I always watch them if I get a chance.
Yeah, they're definitely fun. No doubt about it. So, classic cinema there. Gotta love it. But yeah, Jimmy, what else is on your mind? What else were you thinking about there?
Well, so you're a very busy man, is that about it?
Yeah, I mean, no busier than the next guy, really. I mean, isn't everybody just working 90 hours a week? I mean, I'm not working that much, but I'm working a bit. I feel like I'm working less than most people.
Well, if I did do a podcast, I would think I would like to do it with you.
With me? Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
But you're a very busy dude. I don't know. I'd probably just be another nuisance for you.
I'm the nuisance to myself, Jimmy. The audience is no nuisance. Like I say, I'm just, at this point in my life, I'm very busy with everything else. I'm just maintaining, I'm in survival mode, but the optimist in me sees a light at the end of the tunnel and it won't be forever and we'll make things happen. We'll make things happen. It'll be okay.
You kind of, exactly how much do you know about the JFK assassination? I forget. I mean, I know you know
pretty
well just from comments you said.
I feel like I know very little, honestly. I feel like everything I really know, I've learned from listening to Chuck and the folks he's had on to talk about that. And then beyond that, I don't know a whole lot else.
See, that would be good. That's what I want. Someone who doesn't have an opinion necessarily on a subject one way or the other.
Oh, you're saying that you thinking about doing a JFK themed podcast? Is that what you're thinking about, Jimmy?
Well, I'm thinking a limited series podcast. Yeah, something like that.
That's a good way to do it. People love those ones, like the ones that are just like real focused, and each episode you like get into a certain topic and highly edited. People love that stuff. If that's what you're planning on doing.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, it's just, you know, five and done. Just do it. Yeah, pretty polished, pretty. Yeah, I think that would be the way to. Because I see a lot of these podcasts, promo courses, if you're a quote unquote JFK podcast. Well, after a while, I mean, you run out of stuff to talk about.
Really? It seems like there's so much minutia, though. It seems like you go on for eternity if you really wanted to.
Well, that depends. I mean, are we really talking about the assassination, the crime, and the cover-up, and the plot? Or see everyone, the most so-called JFK podcasts. Throw in all the extracurricular activities such as New World Orders. They seem quite obsessed with the Dulles brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Extenuous biographies on long dead generals that didn't have anything to do with JFK. Stuff yeah. like that.
I know Richard Beltzer just died today, right? I had heard that he was... Didn't he...
Yeah, that's where I... Yes, he wrote a book, Hit List. He kind of picked up where Penn Jones's main kind of inquiry was. He liked to keep track of the bizarre amount of witnesses and stuff who died unnaturally, and Beltzer wrote he just wrote his like 10 years ago. It's a pretty good book.
Okay. Yeah, I had no idea what his take was, if it was any good, or I just know that he did write about it. He wrote about like UFOs and things like that too, I believe. I don't know.
Did he? I did not know that.
I think so. I'm just looking at bits and pieces I saw posted about him today, honestly, and people are saying all that stuff about him.
Well, he was a comedian to start with, and he was pretty good.
Yeah, but he was legitimately into all that, and one of his books was called, like, JFK, UFOs, and Elvis, or something like that. Like, he was into everything that was on the fringe as far as information. Always was, in fact. In the 80s, he was even into that.
Hmm. Oh, wow. I didn't know he went back that far with all that stuff. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, one of his books is literally called JFK, UFOs, and Elvis. and he did more than that. Also did one, I think, called Hit List. I'll get a couple of Amazon links and throw them in the chat room for you.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting guy. It's always cool when he's, like, in a movie. He's pretty good in a movie. He played pretty much himself doing a stand-up bit in the movie Scarface, right? I remember that. He was... doing a performance at some club in Miami.
Oh, was he in the, right before it got all shot up?
I think so. Yeah. There were mirrors like all over the place, right?
Right. Yeah.
And a tremendous part of his career, basically playing a cop on, you know, trauma based scripted cop shows, right? First of all, Homicide: Life on the Streets.
Yes.
And then he's in Law and Order, and then they transfer him to Law and Order SVU, and he was on that series for many, many years. I think they only wrote his character out of the show maybe like a year or two ago. And in fact, it's funny because he had survived testicular cancer like in the 80s.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, you know, long time he was actually, you know, had different health issues and all that. Belzer was an interesting cat for sure.
Huh. Yeah. That Law and Order show always I find surprising. They put those like kind of countercultural actors in there, like Belzer for one, and then they got Ice-T playing a cop. The guy is famous for writing the Cop Killer song, right?
Oh yeah, but even on that show, what's funny is that his character, Munch, was the guy's name, Detective Munch, right? Is that character is into conspiracy stuff. So
Oh, Belzer?
No, the Belzer character on the TV show.
Yeah, oh, interesting.
Is even scripted that. Yeah, like at one point when they do the anti-vaccine show, and like they're, you know, oh, you know, people, this woman, she's going to get charged because she didn't vaccinate her kid and some other kid died. Belzer is the only voice there that goes, well, you know, there are legitimate concerns. And at a certain point, he has a kooky wife who gets involved in something, and it was an ex-wife of his, and he's like, yeah, we used to go to the conspiracy meetings and stuff and talk about, you know, what happened really at Watergate, what really happened to JFK. You know, like his character was built around him and his interest in that stuff too. Yeah, so it's not really it's funny, like they actually allowed him to voice that stuff on that show a bunch of times. It's thrown in there.
That is interesting. Yeah, I wonder what the producers are like of that show. It'd be interesting to like get their take on all that stuff. Yeah, I those shows personally, I cannot stand them. So I when they're on, I try to like avert my eyes because it's like ugh. But yeah, I know people love them, and that's interesting about his character and all that. So yeah, that's cool. You ever watch that show, Jimmy?
Not a single episode of Law and Order. 30 whatever years it's been on. Nope.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Yeah, it's not my cup of tea, those shows. It's like, if I want to be stressed out and like worried about something, why don't I just like go to work? Like, you know, this is like I'm going to some work for somebody else. Like those medicine shows where they're like in the operating room. It's like, I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a nurse. Why do I want to watch this crap? Like, I want to relax. When I'm home, I want to relax. I don't want to feel stressed out. Why the hell would I watch this? But I don't know, to each their own. I guess people like to be stressed. I don't know.
And I just love how all the characters are all messed up. Oh, great. This is how my doctors and cops are, like, on these shows. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, then you talk to like real cops or real doctors or whatever the show's about, and they're always like, "Ah, that show's so fake. It's not actually like that." You know, they all get mad about it. It's like it's not like that at all. I'm like, yeah, of course it's not, but yeah, I get it. Whatever. It's funny.
Well, the cops said one year they voted on it, and supposedly Reno 911 was the most realistic show.
That's funny.
According to the cops themselves, so I don't know what that means.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
And meanwhile, one of the longest running series related to police ever was the show Cops, right? Which showed footage, and that's not more realistic than Reno 911, right? Gotta love that. It's all about your
right.
personal view
Isn't
of yourself.
Ironic? That show's even more scripted than the comedy.
So they say, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would believe it. Yeah, I never believe any of those reality shows. And every show, I feel like when I watch TV now, and especially these shows that are like somehow reality based, I'm actually thinking now about like DIY Network, sorry, like those style shows where, you know, got like the Property Brothers or somebody are like, right. We're here rehabbing a house with Dorothy. She wants to get it, those shows.
Yeah, well, the other thing like, that builds resentment for a show like SVU or whatever, though, for a lot of people is that they do echo things from the headlines all the time. Like, they took, you know, when Epstein was in the news, they literally did episodes that had, like, you know, a rich guy with a massage thing and all that. Like, they constantly do stuff like that. You know, a big story splashes out about a teenage girl disappearing. Well, SVU does a teenage girl disappearing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they always, the writers always incorporate elements of what's going on in the news while they're writing into shows like this. And this show especially, constant.
I find that incredibly annoying as well. I can't take that. That makes me want to, like, grind my teeth.
I understand.
This is just me. I don't know. People
no,
love
I'm
it.
I'm not
That's
even presenting
fine.
A judgment on it. To me, I find it, and the really sick part is they have all-day marathons of this show, right? And people sit there, and they literally, I remember reading a study, like, some years ago, because any time of day given, you can find Law & Order running on a TV somewhere. Like, literally, it's like one of these things they found that 24 hours a day, somewhere, a Law & Order series is running, right?
That's
so,
true.
And I'm looking at these marathons, and then they did a study of people that watch them all day. Ugh. And it was like, if you watch this, like, trauma-based scripted stuff all day, you get depressed. And you start getting, you know, a little edges of paranoia. You start thinking the whole world is hostile. You're literally... Sure. Wanting to just sit there and watch more of this instead of going out and dealing with the real world.
Yes.
Because it actually leads and lends itself to agoraphobic tendencies. So you don't even want to go outside. You're afraid of everything. And you literally do it to yourself by going, I'm going to watch, you know, rape and murder stories for 18 hours. And they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bizarre form of self-hypnosis. Yeah. You know, and that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, look, art imitates life, duh. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. But
I'm not judging it. I'm just presenting, you know, these things.
No, I get it. I mean, yeah, I think I've, it seems like, I've known a lot of paranoid people where they just like, they have this view of the world where like they just kind of assume like the worst thing is going to happen. And like, you know, they get all worried about all these different things.
Right.
It's just sad. It's like,
See, but studying media and the age of transitions that is, notice I did that, the age of transitions that is, here is a giant transition in the course of, like, say, mine and Jimmy James' lifetime, right, is that when we were kids, they would put something on the TV which didn't have the same reach and it was broadcast. Like, I'll give you a good example. Good Times was a show that ran when both Jimmy James and I were small, right? Jimmy, you're a little older than me or about my age, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in the same boat.
We're in the same boat. So as little kids, we could have easily watched the same TV. All right. So we watched All in the Family in that. But, okay, fine. Maybe we watched, you know, MASH, or maybe we watched. But Good Times would come on, and JJ would end up, maybe getting VD, right? Mm. And then another episode came on, like at another season, where JJ winds up with a girlfriend who's a heroin addict. And she's like ODing and shooting up and all this stuff. Now, they put a warning out that this is going to be, you know, very traumatizing. Back then, a big thing would come up on the screen. Due to tonight's, material and the script which occurs here. You know, a big long thing with a very sober voice, you know. Mm-hmm. We want you to be well advised that this could be, you know, and we certainly do not support, you know, like they want to make it very clear.
Sure, I get what you're saying. Yeah, they used to warn you about this, and now it's just like,
nowadays they base a whole show on it, and they turn around and not only, you know, script it and base a whole show on it, and sometimes they give you a warning and sometimes they don't, but they intentionally hoist it on you. And, you know, same time, it's like, well, all right, we couldn't deal with it before, we can deal with it now, even though it's got a bigger reach, and they're willing to warn you about other things. Like now, it is not only, you know, violence, sexual connotation, you know, nudity, but also smoking. There are people smoking in this show.
Yeah.
You know, like that is something to be warned about, like suicide and homicide and, you know, sexual assault and drugs and also smoking. You know, like it's a very weird kind of situation. You could be offended because offensive language.
And they were all. A very special episode. Don't forget that, Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
On a very special episode of The Facts of Life, Tootie learns what gang rape is.
Right. Or again, you know, JJ faces, you know, difficulties that all teenagers face on this very special Good Times. You know, like, because he might have got VD. You know, he might have got the clap. So that big deal. Big, big deal. You know, just saying. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I know it's a big difference. Yeah. How far we've come. And it's just like how it's like a non-issue too. It's like, oh yeah, we traumatize ourselves for hours on end and we don't even think about it. We don't even think about it.
It's cool. You know, that's what it's there for. So
yeah, it's disturbing.
So I put, the link to, JFK, UFOs, and Elvis in the room there, the Goodreads link or something, and also, I'm putting a hit list in there as well for the Richard Belzer reference. Thanks, Aaron.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, sure, yeah. It's interesting, to see somebody who is, you know, got fame and is into these sorts of things and see what they do, see where they go, and that's cool. So it's always interesting to see. Yeah, I've never read any of Belzer's stuff, but I was aware that he's been into these things. I've seen him as guest on these alternative sort of shows in the past, so I did at least was aware of that. But yeah, Jimmy, anything else? You got anything over there? Anything else you want to bring up?
Well, for the first time, probably ever. Anyways, I was watching some of those Alex Jones clips. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this InfoWars Jr.?
Oh, God. I shudder to ask, what is InfoWars Jr.? I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, I'll just have to say what was some pretty funny bleep. That was funny. I don't know what the deal is. If he just, he must be breaking all kinds of copyrights. Like he had a, it look, he used a Scooby-Doo cartoon and then just changed the voices at the end. And when they ripped off the masks, it was G, Dr. Fauci, and, who else?
Wait, is this Alex Jones producing this, or is this somebody producing something like derivative making fun of Alex Jones?
He was just on it. Now he's got a beard and he's really fat and he's red. And he looked quite inebriated. And then all of a sudden it said, InfoWars Jr. And it was actually pretty funny cartoons.
Huh. InfoWars. Oh, okay. I get it. Sort of like Nick Jr. It's like that, but it's InfoWars Jr. It's got cartoons that are based on like the material that you find on Alex Jones and whatnot. I think I get it now. Now, I have not seen it.
I was surprised that he, I mean, that he straight up, like, robbed, has the, whatever people make Scooby-Doo.
Is this like, is this a YouTube channel, or what is it? Is it on YouTube or something?
I have no idea. I walked by the TV when my brother was watching it and started watching it. This is actually pretty funny.
Huh. Yeah, I was wondering like at what point that people would start really doing these satires of alternative media, and it's been a long time coming for sure. So I guess here we are. We're at a point where everybody knows who Alex Jones is, so now the time is ripe for that. So finally we get to that. Yeah, makes sense.
Oh, there's another cartoon that was a stuffed SpongeBob SquarePants. It was Joe Biden, no pants. But it's like the same music and crap and animation. I don't know, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can find that. Sounds interesting. Yeah, I would, I like the sound of it. That's all I gotta say. So I have not seen it, but I might have to look into that one. InfoWars Jr.
I would dig that. Yeah, I want to find a link to it now. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds funny. Yeah, I can't even keep up with whatever it is Alex Jones is actually doing. He owes like $1 billion, but he keeps going somehow on this show. I
guess not. You know what? My brother claimed that he somehow declared bankruptcy on that.
Well, of course he did. You saw that coming, didn't you?
No, I didn't think he could do that. I didn't think he could file. Yeah, is the judgment against him or his company? Or they just don't care because it's Alex Jones. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know the technicalities on the ruling, on the payments involved. I don't know how any of that works. So, yeah, it's a good question. But, yeah, no, it just seems like no matter what happens to him, he keeps going. So he's made it this far. He seems like he's going to continue on somehow. Not sure how he does it, but here we all are. Lucky us.
Well, he's funny for one thing. If those cartoons are any judge,
is it actually Alex Jones' voice in those cartoons?
No, it's like professionally done stuff. Like they took an actual Scooby, the end of a Scooby-Doo cartoon, and just changed the words to say what they want.
Mm. Okay, well, I'll have to watch it, yeah. It's very interesting. Okay. Well, yeah, again,
I'll leave it there and let you at it, dude. I'll let you at it. I don't want to take up your whole show.
All right, well, it was good to talk to you. We'll talk to you next time. Take it easy now.
Yep. All right.
Take care, Jimmy. All right. So yeah, there we go. InfoWars Jr., something for us all to look into. I have not seen it yet. But yeah, it's a mess out there. Everybody's making content. Everybody's making media. Everybody is putting their voice out there, and more confusing than ever, isn't it? So, you don't. I mean, take everything with a grain of salt these days. Everything. You can't get too invested in much of anything, because when you do, you find out. You know, you're just doing. I mean, everybody's vying for your attention, essentially, and there's so many different ways and motives for that. There's so many motives for getting attention in the attention economy, or whatever we want to call this thing that we're now in when we're online. And yeah, I mean, back to Eric Schmidt. Like from the top of the show, Mr. Silicon Valley, critical of the DOD and their not so great handling of technology, their old practices of from the Cold War, the military-industrial complex, the establishment MIC that's been in place for decades, that has everything set up real nice and cushy for themselves to keep making a whole lot of money. But the problem that Schmidt is pointing out is like, hey, look, you don't roll out technology fast enough to keep up in this age of transitions environment, because technology is evolving and changing so rapidly. You have to be able to be incredibly quick and dynamic and be able to change things on the fly. And that's not at all how the big government contracts work. It takes like years and years and years to skim approved and run through, and you know, massive bureaucracy that's incredibly slow and ineffectual when it comes to technological development, quite honestly. And so I don't like to admit that Schmidt is actually correct about that, but he is. And there's the vulnerability there of our armed forces that, yeah, absolutely, we could get ourselves in trouble, and that we're spending ridiculous billions of dollars to make airplanes that crash, like the F-35. We're just dumping money into this garbage, and a lot of people, the same old numbskulls, are getting rich off of it, that always have. But it doesn't work even for basic defense reasons, you know? And so it is that something's bound to happen sooner or later. Frankly, I think there's going to be some sort of cyber 9/11 style event that makes that just. I think it's going to have some effect on like domestic infrastructure, or again, like something to do with the cyber world of data. It's just going to like wreak havoc on our digitized economy. It's bound to happen, and I don't know who they're going to end up blaming for it. I don't know who it will be that does it. Very likely China will be somehow either blamed for it in one way or another. It doesn't even matter if they're the ones that end up doing it, because was Iraq the ones that were to blame for 9/11? Well, according to, you know, the Bush administration, according to them, they were. They sure wanted us to believe that. Iraq had absolutely nothing to do with it, but, you know, in the world of propaganda, they had everything to do with it, because that's what we were told. So I'm saying the same thing's going to happen. There's going to be some sort of cyber event that's going to wreak havoc on our on the Western world, or on the U.S. specifically, or perhaps even like maybe, I think it's going to affect the U.S. one way or another. And then we're going to have this scenario where Eric Schmidt is going to be able to be really proud of himself, and he'll have his "I told you so" moment. Eric Schmidt is just waiting for his "I told you so" moment. He's going to get it. It's almost guaranteed that he's going to acquire that at some point in the future. And when he does, I think there will probably be some sort of like Cyber Patriot Act sort of legislation signed into place, which will allow the military-industrial complex to be reworked, reorganized, so that you get the Silicon Valley companies more involved. You get projects greenlit much quicker. You get technology developed for the DoD way faster. And Cold War 2.0 will heat up, become much hotter, at least in terms of weapons and technological development. Defense spending is going to go crazy because of that. I don't know when this is going to happen, but honestly, it seems like a foregone conclusion. And I couldn't tell you what the exact details, but I don't see how it's not going to happen, honestly. With the way that we just have organized our digital world, again, our society is just built on the back of so much data out there. It's just a huge security risk. And it's just, I mean, we're just asking for it, quite honestly. I don't see, again, it's, to me, it's a foregone conclusion. And, I think the way it will pan out is for Eric Schmidt to be on top of the world, at least in terms of, again, the I told you so moment. And then he'll be like, oh, okay, you know, like, you all were criticizing me, like I shouldn't be here, but look, it turns out I knew what I was talking about all along. Maybe you should put me at the head of a few more 100 panels, governmental panels on technology and AI and defense, because I'm not on enough of them already, or the ones I'm on don't have enough power to actually do things. Now I need that power, so please give it to me. And lo and behold, Silicon Valley will become the new military-industrial complex. And we have talked about this in past episodes. They already are to a great extent, but they're going to be more so. And again, I think things are going to get restructured so that things like AI machine learning will be more so developed under the umbrella of the DoD. And again, be able to that public to private partnership that they love talking about is going to be, that whole process will be expedited compared to what it is today. So there's a fun little thought for all of you to have going into the future. And honestly, I with everything these days, I'm kind of just like, you know, this is what it is. We are where we are. There's not a whole lot we can do about it. Let's just sit back and see where things go. And if it gets terrible, well, so be it. You know, like what am I going to do? It's okay. I can deal with it. It might be interesting. It might be horrendous, but hey, here we are. I'm just hoping that I don't lose my head in the midst of all of it, which is sure to happen. Lots of people are going to just be losing their minds, going crazy. They already are over almost nothing. It doesn't take a whole lot to get the flock, all their feathers all up in a, everybody gets molting basically over anything that happens in the news. When something really terrible happens, I wish I wouldn't have to be there. Just because of the reaction to it all, it's going to be even worse than the actual event itself. Perhaps it has a possibility of being worse. So, yeah. So that's that. Anyway, that was the non-comedy hour. We're moving into the comedy hour where things stop being serious. So that should be good. That's Uncle the Podcast coming up next on the Ocelli Radio Network. If you're listening live, continue to do so. Thank you, everybody, for putting up with me, Aaron Franz, your host. I'm sitting here maintaining my life for what it is. All of our lives are going to be turned upside down within the course of our lives, so just expect that to happen. That's a given. And again, just find a way in your own self to be okay with that, because this is it's the way of things. So That's all I'll say there. Theageoftransitions.com is my website. I will leave you as always by saying, seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transition.
The Ocelli.com radio network.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Cut them down. Advertise on The Age of Transitions. Hello, this is Aaron Franz, host of the Age of Transitions podcast and radio show. Do you like my show? Do you like the Ocelli Radio Network? Do you have a business? Do you have a product, a service that you need to promote? We can join all of your favorite things into one, and you can advertise your product, service, whatever it is you're doing. Maybe you have a blog, online store, you name it. You can be on the Age of Transitions on the Ocelli Radio Network, advertising what you got, and it could be a beautiful thing.
For as little as $50 a month, you can buy an ad for your business, podcast, book, or any message you want heard on one or more of the Ocelli.com shows. To find out more, contact ads@Ocelli.com. That's ads@Ocelli.com. Be heard with us. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
World Order.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
The Ocelli.com radio network.
Revelation through conversation. Re- Revelation through conversation.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia by author Mike Swanson with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War by author Mike Swanson. Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Warning, 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 warning. This is a Mercy Broadcast. Code Red, Code Red, Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and have me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. Here with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are 200 and, I believe, 88.
That's my guess.
That about.
We're somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, we're definitely doing a show, 200-something, 80-something, close to 90, I don't know.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's about right, yeah. So we're live on Ocelli.com every Sunday night. This is 8 p.m. Pacific. It is 11 p.m. Eastern. So you can find us here every week, and we have the live stream video channels as well. We've got YouTube, we got Twitch, we got Twitter, we got a couple others, and they're up and running. I see Creative Accents in the Twitch chat room. I see Electric Daz in the Twitch chat room. Thank you for being there. Okay, yeah, exciting.
And Flash, your shirt's coming.
Flash, Mr. Flash, your shirt is coming. It's in the yard. It's got dye on it right now. It's the second run-through of the dye because the first run-through, it looked good, but it needs a little extra orange in it. So I'm putting it back in.
Why you put it back in?
It's back in there, Uncle.
Colored, trying to color it up like this.
It's going to look good. It's going to look good, I tell you. So, yeah, we're making things happen. And last week we were off. We did not give advance notice for that, so my apologies on that. I didn't even think the week before about how the following Sunday was a Super Bowl, but that's what we were doing. That's why we weren't here, Uncle, last week.
Oh.
It's hard to believe, but it was the Super Bowl last week. It doesn't even seem like that. It seems like so long ago.
That we'll get into this. Now that you said something about the Super Bowl.
Oh, I did.
We, old Chucky boy there has got $2. What happened to the flying birds, though? I don't understand. Yes. They talk about this defense all year, and what happened? They fell apart. I don't know what happened.
They did really good, actually, and they were winning for most of the time. And then at the end, there was that one, pass interference call that was suspect, really. And then the Chiefs ended up winning off of it. So.
Wound up saying, though, with that in question, the guy admitted he did a foul.
Okay.
I've heard it. Somebody said it was not his fault that he sort of made a mistake and made a foul and made him lose the game with that foul.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, these things happen. But the point is, there's no changing it. Kansas City won the Super Bowl. And so your double or nothing bet with Chuck proved out you owe him $2. And in fact, I think the stipulation was a $2 bill.
Yeah, I had a load of them.
It was crazy. Like, as soon as so what happened was we were watching it. Everybody knows what happens. Eagles lost. You left the room, and then you came back a few minutes later and you go, here you go, and you hand me a $2 bill, like, immediately.
Because he didn't know what that was for. I paid the debt.
I know.
That's why it was what it was for. So, now...
You had the $2 bill ready to go.
I did. I had it ready because I have a few.
I was impressed by that. I'm like, man, you have the $2 bill right there. So that was
waiting for get your stuff out. Yeah. And on that note,
He's going to have Flash a shoot. He's going to have...
I'm going to have that.
What's his name's cards. And with the $2 bill with it.
I've got a lot of mail that I'm going to be sending out. I am. I'm going to do a big mail off.
Hey, Sidekick has to visit the post office now. This is what's happening.
I'm going to make it there.
He's going to get the post office, man.
In fact, he'll
put that into your bug to send it out, no?
Right. Yeah, no, he can do that. And, you know, fascinating thing. If listeners,
your mailbox.
Oh, yeah. If listeners don't know. This is a $2 bill now because last year's Super Bowl, there was a dirty dollar bet. And I was supposed to get the beat up dirty dollar if I won, or if he won, I would send it to him. And I won. And this is the only time in my life I've ever won two Super Bowl bets in a row with anybody.
It was?
Yeah.
It was?
I never win. I always pick the wrong team, Uncle. Always.
I was very weird at that one because, of course, I've always go with underdogs, but who would have known the Eagles wouldn't have been underdogs? They were favorites.
I know.
Yeah, they were not.
And
underdogs.
I can never win on favorites. I learned that in my lesson.
Well, see, I did. Okay, so let me tell you something. Over 40 years, right, I started betting with other little kids, like when I was 9, 10 years old. And so over 40 years, you know how many times I've gotten the Super Bowl pick right? 40 times. How many do you think I've gotten right now?
None.
Three. Exactly three. So
three at that age?
I'm telling you, I think I started betting on it even earlier. I'm saying generally it's at least 40 times that I have bet on the Super Bowl.
Oh.
With somebody in my life. Okay, 40 times, and I have been wrong 37 times.
You.
I'm not kidding.
It's a good record with you, Uncle, somehow.
Two in a row. I win from Uncle.
What we got to do is find out what the story and who is good this year. You know how that goes. We have to figure out who going where, and you know.
Yeah, but there were years there, Uncle, where I watched every game. I knew the angles. I knew the players. I knew everything. I knew the stats. And I knew it all, and I bet on the wrong team. Then there were other times where I was just like, you know what? I just don't like this team. I want to bet against them. I bet against them. I'm wrong. That means, folks, that I bet on the Buffalo Bills to win. Okay, like four times, okay. Right?
You took, yeah, that, his wife is a Buffalo, Buffalo fan, by the way.
Kind of.
And you wanted them to win it. Shoot, look what happened. Cincinnati came up and what they beat them. Well, they're the ones that beat them.
Yeah.
They beat them. But then they went back to Kansas City gave them a whipping.
But as a kid, right, usually I didn't get my teams in the Super Bowl because I was, you want to know what football teams I was a fan of when I was a fan of football? This is going to hurt me to even say it. The Jets. All right, you know, because they didn't win since Namath, and I wasn't alive then, right? So, the Jets, the Raiders, all right? I loved the Raiders because they were just nasty players. I loved them. Okay, 70s, you know what I'm saying? They were harsh.
Yeah.
John Madden running the team, come on. All right, you know, so the Raiders, the Jets, okay? These are my teams. And the Steelers, I loved because they were winning in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
I can picture that.
But those were the three teams I liked. So outside of the fact that I got on the bandwagon with the Steelers when I was like 7 years old, the teams I rooted for always, they just lost every Super Bowl, every single Super Bowl. And that also means I was rooting against Tom Brady almost, you know, every time.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what everybody in this house did. Yeah, that's what everybody in this house did the same.
It's bad for betting, yeah, but yeah, I get it.
So, my success rate with betting, 3-37 is my record on Super Bowls. And I even ran Super Bowl pools and stuff.
Knew the odds.
Played. It doesn't matter if I played the odds, went with an even bet, bet on the field goals. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you know, how many extra points, all kinds of things you can do. I ran massive, complicated pools.
Yeah,
And
there was a few points given that game, two-point conversions.
Right.
In that game. Who would have thought? But there was a lot of gambling coaches.
Exciting game.
In this year, I thought.
Yeah.
In this. And the two that were in this year, coming year, were both gamblers, more or less.
Yeah, they would go for it.
They would go for it, but
fourth down and all that.
Fourth down stuff, like
fourth down conversions. Oh, we're gonna call them.
We got a caller here. Who? Hold on, there, Chuck. Who? Who's on this line and where from?
Jimmy James calling in from Michigan. How you guys doing?
Good.
Okay. Okay.
Good to hear from you, Jimmy.
We're discussing football time.
I agree with you, Uncle. Clearly the 49ers should be the champions right now.
49ers?
They had
come on.
But they had all kinds of quarterback issues, so.
They had a load of issues in quarterback position.
Their little place there.
I wonder, though, come back to that there, Jimmy, for a minute. About the 49ers, what is there going to be this coming year? Where do you think they're going to move from to get what to help him out? The rookie I'm talking about.
Oh, you're
what do you think?
A Purdy?
A Purdy, yeah.
They're gonna get rid of the newest guy, I think. That's pretty much keep everything the same, I think.
Oh, are you talking about Lance? Are they going to get rid of Lance?
Who
are
they getting rid of?
The new guy, the number 3.
Oh, Purdy?
Purdy?
I guess. Whoever. There's 3 freaking quarterbacks there. The third
they got
guy.
A ton. They just lost them all. Yeah, they got that Lance guy. They've got Purdy, and they've still got, what, Garoppolo?
So they still got Garoppolo. You're talking about Garoppolo.
Garoppolo.
You
want to
get him? Oh, yeah. I can see him going.
He should go.
I could see him.
The other guy and get rid of that third guy if he's not already gone. It sounds like you guys say he's gone.
It would make sense. I mean, he's the elder of them. He could kind of take off and.
What third guy?
Garoppolo, I believe, is the third guy. Yeah, because Lance and Purdy are both the young guys. They're both.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be Calapio you're talking about.
They should be fine with them and move forward.
Yeah,
No, Garoppolo's the number 1 guy. He shouldn't go nowhere.
Oh, you want to keep Garoppolo?
He's quarterback.
Well, okay, well,
keep Garoppolo.
Exactly.
And who?
He's number 1. And then you could keep Purdy, I guess, if you want.
I thought they were all enamored by Lance too. I thought he was actually still quite good. He just got injured early on.
That other one.
Well, they were all 3 injured. That was the problem. That's the only reason why they didn't win. They got 3 injured quarterbacks.
That is a good point. That is true. They did have all 3 of them injured.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the main reason. Yeah, I got to say that.
They were done.
They were finished after the quarterback issue. Yeah. But so now they have an issue.
I mean, they're going to be a good team. There's no.
They have the guy. They have the rookie. That's fine. He can learn under Garoppolo.
Yeah, I guess.
Now I would think that's how they would go, and then whoever the other people are, whatever they needed, you know.
Yeah, I think Lance or Purdy will be fine, and then they've got like all their other guys, like Debo Samuel. They've got McCaffrey. They've got, Kittle. They've got a ton of good players.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good team. I mean, it's unfortunately, they're going to be good. There's no way around it. So they're going to beat the Rams every time they play them.
Unless the Rams get.
It's going to be the 49ers playing the Philadelphia.
I think Philadelphia's going to even get better. I think
that they could maintain. They were amazing this year. They might be able to maintain that. They'll definitely be good still, and they'll be. Yeah, I think they're going to continue being good. Yeah, it looks like it.
That young coach is still young, too. I mean, it's only had his first year, and first time he went to the Super Bowl. Now, how many times do you think a coach that is brand new, that just got in there, ever gone to a Super Bowl? Let's put a thing on that for the people to think about.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Yeah, that's
a, that'd be a good Lombardi. Answer to them. Huh?
Lombardi. That'd be about it.
Lombardi.
I mean, yeah, I.
For sure, he won the first three Super Bowls, like, in a row.
Yeah.
That's why they named the trophy after him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about it. What was it called?
We'll see. So the football season is now officially over. It's done. It's in the history books. We know what happened. Now all there is the USFL, if you're so
inclined to watch that. USFL now. That is a complete different stadium, a different kind of sport. In a football standpoint, yes, but what I don't understand is how does they run like the others, but they don't run the same?
They don't run the same?
No. They're different kind of rules.
The rules
are
different.
They gotta be different.
It's gonna be slightly different, I'm sure. I don't know what all the rule
I don't know what the rules are on that. That completely loses track of that.
It's still the same game. I mean, it's American football.
It is the same game.
It's professional. It's not the NFL, but it's still professional level American football. Yeah. I don't know what their little rule differences are. But, this is like the second year running now for it, right? They did it last year. They're back now. So I guess it got enough ratings that they're returning.
Well, this is the second time that they've tried to do a USFL, too.
Quick, but as I recall, like one of the biggest differences, they don't bother. They just start in the middle and kick the thing, don't they?
Oh, really?
Is this arena football?
Yes. Yeah, I don't even know.
I forget even how they play it.
I don't know if I've seen the whole game.
I forgot how they play it.
Well, you know, for many years they had arena football, which was with 50-yard field, and there was no kickoffs at all. It just went game to game, and there was a team from Brooklyn, I think, like the Brooklyn Knights, it was a Northeastern regional thing mostly. The arena football thing. And the USFL, if I'm not mistaken, this is what the second time they've tried this, right? Because.
Yeah, that's what just said.
Indeed, Herschel Walker.
We had it years ago.
Yeah, Herschel Walker was part of the New Jersey Generals, right?
Right.
Yeah, wasn't Trump involved in that team?
Yes, Trump's the owner of the New Jersey Generals.
Yes.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
You gotta be kidding me.
This crazy
man that was doing it at the White House?
No, before that.
No, you gotta be telling me this.
I'm not
be
making it up.
To about.
No. Uncle, I'm talking about in the 80s, there was this football thing that Trump was the owner of the New Jersey Generals. Yes.
Yeah, way back. Yeah, I remember I actually found a Jersey Generals t-shirt at the thrift store and I sold it online.
Oh, you told me.
I found one one time. And
I would have taken that. Yeah.
I would have had a save.
Yeah, that was a good find. Yeah.
I would have had that on a piece of thing and put it on a thing in the room.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about the New Jersey Generals t-shirt? You're that excited about it?
If it was popular at that time.
It used to be, yeah. It was a true vintage shirt.
It would have been something.
Yeah. I've come across quite a few interesting items over
I did a quick look up. 1983 to 1985, the USFL existed. And that's it. 2 years, and then it went bankrupt. You know, I mean, you know, Trump and something going bankrupt. He's connected to stock. just saying, he was the owner of the New Jersey Generals, though. I don't know if he was the full owner or if he was part owner. I got to look, but I know he was the owner of the New Jersey Generals.
I don't know, he got
into football, but now that
just as an owner of a USFL team, it sounds like something he'd do. It is something he did. There you go.
Oh well.
Oh man, yeah. So it's back. The USFL is back for the second time, but also the second year in a row, and it's this incarnation of it. So it's been 2 years running.
I'm sort of going to see how this operates, though. I want to know. I want to know what their rules are. Just a curiosity. Can't know much about the football games, but just to see how they run them.
Yeah.
How, what it looks like.
Was,
what are the Wolves? Yeah.
Did Dwayne Johnson, wasn't he part of the promotion of this thing last year?
I
want to say
so.
They got him in on it. I want to say he might be an investor even.
He might be an investor.
You know, also there was the XFL, don't forget, right?
Yes. Yes, that's another thing. Yeah.
That's another thing. I think that might have had something to do with the WWE, didn't it?
McMahon.
It did.
Not Ed McMahon, the other McMahon.
Vince McMahon.
The other McMahon, number 9.
Vince McMahon.
You know, he's smart. I thought he was smart. Okay. Played with the Bears.
You're talking about Vince McMahon?
No.
He's talking about the quarterback McMahon. But
yet another McMahon.
Another McMahon.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Right.
Too many McMahons.
There's too many McMahons walking around.
Yeah.
Well,
you are correct, sir.
Not that
McMahon. Sergeant.
Different McMahon.
Sergeant
Patrick.
Sergeant Slaughter. We've got to find Sergeant Slaughter.
We do.
All right. Anybody hear about Sergeant Slaughter?
Have him call in immediately.
Had him call in immediately to my show.
Get to him. Get to Sergeant Slaughter.
Indeed. I know that because he's a wrestler.
Have him call the number 319-527-5016 immediately so we can talk to him.
Absolutely.
Talk to him.
Jim
McMahon. I know he's a talker.
Jim McMahon was the Bears quarterback. Vince McMahon is the guy with the WWE. Okay. Ed McMahon is the announcer. Yes. So lots of McMahons.
McMahon. Publishers Clearinghouse.
Clearinghouse.
You're correct. There we go.
I hope we get in touch with somebody in Ohio.
Somebody in
Ohio!
Oh, he should be happy.
Who?
Man in Ohio.
The man in Ohio?
He's a Kansas City Chief.
Oh, you're talking about
Chief Man.
For a second, I thought you meant Les Wexner.
You meant Cooley.
You meant Cooley.
Cooley.
I'm sorry. I should have known that.
I'll find out if he
does. Yes, Cooley,
yeah.
Big Kansas City Chiefs fan. We know that. So he's celebrating, obviously.
I know he's celebrating.
Count Pupper upset. Eagles.
Yeah,
fan.
He's upset.
But yeah, I wanted to see the Eagles win. They didn't. But again, this year is another year in the NFL books. It's over. We'll see what happens next year. Hopefully the Rams will be better.
Hey, you know the draft is only a month away again.
Oh, it's coming right up.
Coming up, not quick. Two to five. Can you believe the draft is 2 to 5 in March?
Is that the hours that it's broadcast? 2 to 5.
2 to 5 of the days that it's on.
Oh, March 2nd and 5th.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe.
I thought it used to be April.
Yeah,
they might have pushed it up. I know that over the years, the draft has gotten more and more popular as a TV event. It used to be only depraved lunatics would watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
But now a lot of people actually watch it.
Yeah, because see what they go through it all whole year that they might as well let's look into this and see what's happened. See what happened. Yeah, they got it coming earlier than before. It was always in April.
Well, that's what Jimmy just said. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was. I think it was. I think they did push it back.
They might have.
They might
they
have
might pushed it forward.
Forward. They
it seems like they're doing
forward.
A bit of that. It seems like the secondary and peripheral NFL events, they're making more a big deal about, and they're getting more ratings from what I gather.
Yeah,
I don't know about the NFL as a whole, but those events seem to be more popular.
That's what it is. They want to get more ratings out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the cause of it's for. The reason why it's gone up ahead, back or ahead or back or whatever it is, going all over the place and trying to get some things out of it. And that's what it is.
Honestly, I think they're doing it for these silly dream team games.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You're talking about fantasy football.
The fantasy.
I honestly think they're doing it for that and for the bettors.
Yeah, that sounds dead on, Jimmy. Yeah, because that's bigger than ever, too, the fantasy
football. That, too. My cousin, actually, he's the one. He gets into that fantasy stuff.
Oh, a lot of people.
I know when he gets into them things. I just don't know how he can get into fantasy kind of games. Well, that's to me confusing.
It makes the game personal, where you are playing a game that is derivative of the game, which is NFL, right? Like, so the game of professional football, your game that's derivative is the fantasy football, where you're playing to win against the other people playing. So there's all sorts of techniques to get good at it. And then there's techniques to get good, but there's also a massive element of chance and luck involved too, because you never know what's going to happen. You can pick the best players, they get injured. So, I mean.
You saw this whole year, you saw the this coming past year, this Buffalo player. Who ever had him in a fantasy? Oh man, and see what happened to him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That for an example.
Well, yeah, you never know. So that's the thing. So that's why I get it. I get why people would have fun with it. And
right. Skype
you
caller.
Gamble while you do it, so people love that. So, you know.
Skype caller about to join, Aaron.
Ooh, just Skype so you guys caller. Know. All right. Who's on this line and who are you going from?
Hello, Uncle. This is Chris Graves from Massachusetts. How you doing?
Okay. We were just talking about Slaughter. Are you the one that knows about these wrestlers, or wasn't you? Wasn't him?
No, I know about. Here's something that'll make everyone will be really creeped out. Do you know that Ed McMahon in our reality that we're presently in, Ed McMahon didn't actually work for Publishers Clearing House?
He did.
Look it up.
Oh, where'd this come from?
Oh. That's he didn't work for them.
No, he worked for a different one.
Oh,
really?
But not exactly what I remember from my childhood. I remember the commercials of him with the big, huge, oversized check.
Yeah,
and I remember him delivering that to Publishers Clearinghouse winners all on Saturday mornings during my cartoons.
Oh,
now
yes.
They're telling me that never existed.
I remember that.
So it wasn't Publishers Clearinghouse, it was at the same thing.
No, he didn't do those commercials at all, but I remember every one of them.
I could have sworn it was him. What is happening?
Now we can take another guess on something.
This is a Mandela thing.
Who was
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
That yep. did.
Yeah, who was it?
That is our question tonight.
No, but if you look it up, guys, it'll tell you. He never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse, and it's a mine, you know what.
So this is gaslighting? Is that what they're doing to us, Chris? What's going on?
Well,
what's
no, I don't know. Some people, actually, a guy named Sam Tripoli actually told me, he gave me the idea that maybe this is a psyop, but I usually just chalk it up to everyone misremembering things, but I don't know, it's really creepy because I remember vividly those commercials during my Saturday morning cartoons.
What were they? Okay, if it wasn't Publishers Clearinghouse, what was it? It was something similar but different?
No, but what I'm saying is he did work for another thing very briefly, but he didn't do commercials where he had the oversized check and would deliver
it. Publishers Clearinghouse. Now he worked for American Clearinghouse or something.
He said he did it with Dick Clark, and I don't remember that either.
Dick Clark?
No, wait. He did a lot of stuff. American Publishers. Practical Jokes with Dick Clark.
Practical Jokes.
Yeah, but they also
like
say that he worked with Dick Clark on some of those commercials for America Clearinghouse, whatever the thing you just said. It's weird.
Telling you. Wait a minute.
Go check it out.
Just saying.
Go creepy. Check it out and see what it's like.
They're changing everything. It's because of that stupid thing in Europe where they're smashing all the molecules.
Oh, the CERN?
This is what happens when you smash molecules. Dude, yeah,
that's right. Changes. You want to create a big bang right here on Earth. That's what happens, baby.
Oh, we're playing around with quantum mechanics, Uncle, and it seems like we're losing.
Or everyone just remembers.
Well,
we, that long. I don't know.
You all got to remember, we're on brain cells.
We are.
We are looking at brains right now.
We're looking.
Well,
at
I don't really have any of those left, but you are right. Sorry.
Well, because you're looking at, in front of you.
I know.
All right, whoever's got their computers up, that's what you're looking at. I'm we don't have cells in our bread. Who would have thought of cells in our heads?
I know. I got
about
you.
This time.
Well, Sergeant Slaughter, he follows me on Twitter. I think that's what you were getting at, right, Uncle?
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking go. If you can get him,
well, he
we can really get a good conversation going.
Oh, yeah, no, I've been trying. Don't get me wrong. I've been trying. There's some people, they don't get back to you. You know, I don't want to give you false
well,
hope.
That was another one that I would like to, if you could get to.
Yeah.
Him.
It's tough. It's tough getting a hold of people. It's easy to
I was trying
out,
to get Jerry but... Lawler for you guys, and he just, I believe, just passed away.
What? He did?
I believe so, or he had a stroke. I know he was just in the news. And
I didn't hear about this.
Show and he just died.
I didn't hear about this. How come we didn't hear about this?
The name
wow.
of the name of the company.
Sick, but Lawler ain't dead.
Yeah, the name of the company is American Family Publishers that Ed McMahon actually worked for. That's the way it is.
American Family Publishers.
It's similar. It's a similar thing, but not quite. And they didn't do the yeah. That's
and
what
it wasn't similar at all. And the commercials he did for it had nothing to do with oversized checks. He never visited anybody. That's what I remember. And millions of other people as well.
I remember the check. Yes,
and
I
me too. And you know what? The famous thing where Johnny Carson went on to David Letterman, famously, he brought an oversized Publishers Clearinghouse Ed McMahon check to David Letterman as a joke. Huh. Why would he do that as a joke if there was no validity to that originally? It's still on YouTube. And Chuck's rolling his
and
eyes.
There's also Johnny Carson's show where he said, and that, yeah, thanks Johnny to the letter informing me that I may have already won $1 million.
That's right, too. Yep.
It looks like Creative Accidents has dropped a link in the Ocelli.com chat to Ed McMahon for American Family, whatever it is.
It's creepy, isn't it?
Yeah.
He looks like one of the presidents. What was that guy's president?
I apologize for that. He did not die, but he was just in the news because he had a stroke. That's what I meant.
Sorry. Oh, Lawler. Okay, well.
Yeah, Lawler's not dead.
I hope he's
not dead yet.
Not yet.
I hope he does all right, considering the circumstances. That's not good to hear about, obviously.
Richard Belzer? Not so lucky, because I was actually trying to get him on my show through David Wayne.
Yep.
And, yeah. Very sad day.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. And here we thought wrestlers passed away and now come back and say that.
No, but that's the positive thing, Uncle. That's the positive thing. We might still be able to get Jerry Lawler because he's only in the hospital. So I was mistaken.
Oh.
So sorry to scare you.
Got me scared here because I was thinking about Captain Slaughter and now you come with
Slaughter,
him.
Yeah.
He would be a good actor, too, to talk to. I'm just giving
you
some.
He follows me, but he won't respond to me. So go figure.
What? Oh, Slaughter.
Yeah,
why
Sergeant Slaughter.
He? I don't get it.
I see.
That don't make no sense.
But I am trying, guys. I just don't want to say one thing. You know, I shouldn't really say these things until they happen. You know, but I get excited.
Well, I just came up with the name, actually, tonight. I just figured, well, maybe he knows.
Is there another guy that you would want me to try to get?
I keep trying to get people to go get Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yeah, well.
You say Ric Flair?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that's easy to get a hold of, but also hard to get a hold of.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
I don't know what that is.
Right. Sometimes
Flair would get in touch with you. It's just that does he have the time all the time?
Well, but the funny thing is, he's had the time to do podcasts with people that have two listeners. I know that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, for a fact.
Well, then get on him. I want to get him to get on him and start looking for him.
Yeah, but what's messed up is he's in Georgia here, right? And people have called him up to ask him to come down, like, you know, and show up at their, you know, they're opening a lawnmower repair store. And they've asked him to come down and hang out.
I do that
I can
too.
Give you that job, Chuck.
No,
since
but I've tried.
Georgia.
I'm trying to tell you, I've tried. I can't get him. That's the thing. It's killing me because I'm telling you, like some dude opens up, you know, Green Thumb and Sons, whatever, lawnmower repair. I'm serious.
They did good work.
And he had the guy come down, like, you know, and I don't know what they gave him, but it wasn't much, to physically show up.
Yeah. So, and the owners are like, I reckon Ric Flair's going to be here at my opening.
Yep. They had him at a pawn shop. They had him at a new pawn shop. A new pawn shop they had him at, for God's sake. I mean, you know.
Pawn shop.
I'm sorry. At the Pizza Hut.
Yeah. No, no, these are real popular. Listen, they're real popular in my area. Pawn shop, gun shop, all right? Lots of them. And sometimes both, right? And they had Ric Flair show up at one of these pawn shop openings. We're the brand new pawn shop over here, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's also 16 of them in the area, but we're better. And they had Ric Flair show up to open it. I'm not kidding.
That's crazy.
Here we are fighting to get one, and we can't even get one. And this guy's walking in to those places.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
mentioned.
We need to finish the show.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I can't even
remember. We've gotten too big for our britches, Uncle. The show's gone too big.
I think our show blew the court, and he doesn't want to talk to me.
No, I guess
not.
We're too big.
We're too big of
too big to fail?
For the to get to talk to the comedy boy? Jeez.
Comedy boys to make a bail.
We're trying to get better like him, and what do we get? A knock hit in the head.
Yeah.
Well, Uncle, who are some other stars that you would love to have on your program? Like outside of wrestling, like some other wish list guests.
I like some women talkers. Can think of any
really want ones? To talk to?
Famous women talkers,
like actresses or radio stuff.
Radioactive personality.
Like Elvira, yeah. Maybe?
Elvira.
Oh, yeah. Something like her.
Okay. I'm going to write that down.
No, he'd love that. Elvira, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's a good one right there.
That one there. Yeah. I remember her. I even watched her watching shows back in when they were out.
She used to have a weekly show.
Yes, she did. Elvira,
the Mistress of the Dark, presents.
Yeah, her. She was it. Yeah. I can imagine me talking to her.
Creative Accidents.
I have a good hour, 2 hour conversation.
Creative Accidents says that Uncle ought to open up a pawn shop. That would be great. Uncle the pawn shop. Would be great.
Well, forgive me. You didn't get me the coin and go half in it.
You want to open up a pawn shop now?
Now, if you get some, go half on with me.
On the business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna need some helpers.
We'll see.
Not gonna have to do it myself, of course.
That'd be a good sitcom too, or a cartoon.
Cartoon.
Yeah. I mean, so many possibilities. The show is. The show's just doing better than ever. That's all I know. We're getting guests. We'll see what we can do. And we appreciate all the help, Chris. It's very nice of you, everything that you're able
to
do.
Aaron, I feel bad because I haven't come through yet. I keep talking up a big game and I keep trying.
I mean, honestly, the thought does count.
Here's a street cream idea, okay? Because Creative Accidents just dropped in the chat room. The Facebook link for Sergeant Slaughter. If Uncle the broadcast listeners, Uncle the podcast listeners, both, if you guys were to turn around and message Sergeant Slaughter on Facebook and tell him, hey, listen, you should go on Uncle the podcast, it might help.
That's a good idea.
And pull you guys do it.
That would get a good idea. All right, we're going to go on Facebook right now. Change the tune.
Okay.
We're going to put Facebook on mine.
I think you got Facebook
here. Yeah, well, this is the way.
Uncle needs a Facebook.
This is the way to catch the people. Maybe that's the way we have to go with Facebook. So let's put a Facebook on top of
it.
It's worth a try.
What? No, just got me thinking here.
It's worth a try,
right? You got me thinking. Chuck, you got me thinking about that.
I'm trying.
Because, look. You don't like it, Facebook.
I don't care.
But the Facebook would be perfect for wrestler talkers.
Right.
If we can get them to even talk on it, I'll be happy.
Okay.
And, yeah.
I mean, and we got to do something.
Well, we're saying we're getting the street cream to do the heavy lifting for us.
Something. Oh.
We don't have
the street cream to do that?
The street cream
we're hoping.
We don't have to do that.
Now, hopefully not.
Ed, well, Face Shifter in the chat room is saying that, hey, wait a minute, no Uncle the Pawn Shop until we get Uncle the Drop Glass.
Yeah. Well, that sidekick's operating.
First things first.
He's got to get that new. He's working on that.
That will be easy to do, but again.
You are having times trying to do it. I know.
It's the times, Uncle. That's it.
Times your problem.
Bear with me. Bear with me.
Yeah, that's what they are. They are. The crack room.
The crack room.
The crack room is dealing with you. But I'm there patiently.
It's tough for you, huh, Uncle?
Yeah, see, you better talk to the crack room.
President's Day.
President who?
Tomorrow, President's Day. Oh, man, is everything shut down?
Well, not where I work.
You brought out the garbage for nothing?
Garbage for nothing? What's going on there?
It's a holiday tomorrow, Uncle.
Oh,
you're
going to
drag it back or all the
No, hold up a second, people.
All right.
There is only one holiday the garbage men have. Do they know which one it is? Question.
April Fool's Day?
It's only one that they get, Uncle? That's it?
That's what I understand.
Not where I live.
Better than that.
No. What I understand.
Arbor Day?
Flag Day.
Not Thanksgiving.
Not where I live, but I think he's going for Christmas. But not where I live. That's not the way it works.
No,
they got a lot
not
of
Christmas.
Okay.
Something with, I could give you a hint.
Kwanzaa.
Something with a president.
That's the day they have as president.
They have.
So they do have tomorrow off.
Tomorrow's President Day?
That's what we're circling around to, is that they're actually off tomorrow?
Well.
That's a surprise.
Well, wait a minute. Who?
I don't think
there
they're
is
off tomorrow.
One. There is one. There is seriously one.
Thanksgiving.
I can't think of which one.
Kwanzaa.
I'm not sure.
If they have one holiday, it's Christmas. That's the one holiday that like every work gets, and then that's the one that they give. If you only get one holiday, it's usually that, typically. Ask me how I know.
Remember next coming year. Remember this coming year. Look out with your garbage pails on Christmas. See if that's the holiday. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Maybe today's Halloween, so they don't run over kids. I just thought of that.
Halloween? Oh, no. Not that one.
That would be safe. Yeah, that would be.
Yeah,
like
that would be. That would be the weirdest one.
Oh,
I was going to say Labor Day. No?
I would think that they do get Labor Day. Labor Day and Memorial Day, most places get. So I would think that they get those holidays, but it depends on where you're at, probably.
In the industry, yeah.
Well, I do know there is one they do get.
Well, what is it?
I'm going to talk to a garbage man and ask him.
<Who's>, That's not fair.
Maybe he'll know. Who knows?
I thought it might be.
Oh, you guys are laughing.
Well, no, it doesn't work that way.
This can happen. Yeah. I think they talk to these guys sometimes.
It's cool. It doesn't work that way here, Uncle. They get a lot of holidays off here. I was thinking maybe it could be Mother's Day so that at least there's one day out of the year you're not allowed to drag your mother-in-law to the curb. But other than that, you know.
Now we're getting personal. This is crazy.
Yeah, of course.
Now, wait a minute.
I don't think it's Christmas, because Christmas, they need trash me more than ever, because there's a lot of trash and garbage and trees and junk after Christmas.
Yeah, but day after.
No, it's not Christmas. I know it's not Christmas.
Day after.
It can't be Christmas.
So.
I think it's one of the, something with the president in it, though.
Maybe.
It's someone. I just don't know which.
It's crazy enough to be true.
That could be. Because I was trying to figure out, people were saying, oh, it's a holiday. Are they taking their trash out? Are they taking their trash out?
Black Friday.
Black Friday, yeah.
Black Friday, man.
That's a good holiday.
A holiday.
But that's an exciting one.
That's a Well, let's see.
Well, I'll work on Sergeant Slaughter for you somehow. Yeah. We'll figure out, you know.
Yeah.
I'll make him an offer he can't refuse. You know what I mean, Uncle? Well, you know?
Yeah. As long as we don't have to go on Facebook, you're doing us a favor.
Facebook?
It might be MySpace, so don't, you know, don't hold me to it.
Well, we have to do something to get these people on.
You got
to
get
Sidekick. If it has to be Facebook, then it'll be Facebook. But if we got to get, the only way to get people is to get these people to concentrate.
Uncle, what about Travis Walton, the guy who went in the flying saucer there and Fire in the Sky, that movie?
Flying saucer?
Right, the movie Fire in the Sky?
Yeah.
I remember that movie, yeah.
Yeah, Travis Walton, he does interviews. I've been trying to get him, too.
Well, try for him, I guess, too.
You're like, that's not Sergeant Slaughter.
But that Sergeant Slaughter got some kind of talk. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. You're comparing a guy
who got anal probed to the guy who wrestled the Iron Sheik. I mean, there's no comparison.
Wait, that's it. Iron Sheik.
Isn't it one in the same?
It's a jabroni. Hey. I love that guy. Iron Sheik.
By the way, Rocky VI was a good movie. I don't care what you say, Chuck.
Oh, okay. Fine. Whatever. Enjoy that.
I did, over and over and over.
You also think Chud was a good movie, too, so.
Yeah, and it is. What's your point?
Well,
I love Chud. Much like those movies, I have none. Anyway.
I'm trying to movie them this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main point here is that you got to get creative to find those guests out there in today's media environment, Uncle. We got to,
if that's the way to get them, I mean, just to even talk to them, it's something to, we something ahead of on.
If you want to make celebrities, you got to talk to their people. You got to call their agents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them, yeah. Well,
I tried that with Steve O. He has like a,
yeah,
a publicist or something. I forget it, but his company, I got a hold of him. I want to say I might even try to call him. I never heard back.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't hear back.
Oh, okay.
So I tried, but yeah, but that's a good example, Jimmy, of you do actually have to do that with some people. So yeah.
It's like that's what
I tried to do with Seymour Hersh like 2 years ago, and I got him on the phone.
It's like I've been chasing Bill Burr now for like 5 years, off and on.
Mm.
Well, why didn't you tell me that? Because I've actually talked to him on the phone too.
I did. Nobody listens to me when I talk.
I'm trying to get Stanhope too.
Cool, that's great. Another guy I wanted. Actually, I got Stanhope to agree, and then I couldn't nail down a date with him. And then he stopped responding.
Well, you just took my Kevin Smith story. That's the same exact thing.
It's
he
not
gave
me
a
taking
day
it.
And then never a time.
Except I did. Yeah, what my problem is that I told this story in 2015 on my show already. So
all right. Well, you have the facts on your side.
There you go.
Thank you.
That hurts, doesn't it?
Oh boy! I know we're gonna have an argument here, Chuck.
Nah,
you and you look like you're fighting your own company programs.
You kidding me?
Here
I love Chris.
Trying to get
you kidding me? I love Chris. Working. I absolutely love Chris. I love Chris. I love you guys. This is my best people right here on the line all together.
So, love, hate, it's all the same.
Nah,
it's a fine line.
No. Jack Blood is on Thursday. Anyway,
Jack Blood is on Thursday.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We gotta get back going.
Did I say
this
that?
Kind of thing,
Uncle? I'll try to get the Toxic Avenger for you. I mean, him and Lloyd Kaufman, they're pretty accessible.
I've had the voice of the Toxic Avenger in one of the movies already.
What was that?
If
John
I
Wells?
Even get
Clyde Lewis.
One of anybody, I'll be shocked.
Clyde
Let's
Lewis.
Put it that way.
Clyde Lewis was the voice of the Toxic Avenger, and I think
yeah, right.
Part three.
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah,
Aaron,
I forgot that
Clyde
he did
Lewis,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
What's that?
No, I thought Aaron worked with Clyde Lewis as well at one point, no?
No, I've never talked to Clyde. Yeah, he's somebody that I haven't gotten a hold of.
No, he's been a guest on my show a couple times. I've been a guest on his show many times.
No, I know that, Chuck. I know.
That's cool.
And the popular guy that does a lot of show talking is Chuck there. I'll be surprised he can get a lot more than he can get. Thanks.
honestly, if it, to find some interesting guests, this, I think all we'd have to do really, Uncle, is walk around Landers a bit, because there's some characters out there, let me tell you, that we could have on, and they'd make interesting guests. There's some people out there.
Maybe you can find another numerology guitar guy, because I'm telling you, that guy.
Yeah, throw out some of my cards to him. I've done that even. I even did. I had one guy in the neighborhood. He actually, maybe he's listening now.
Could be.
Because he says he listens to broadcasting.
Okay.
Some of these guys that I've gotten in touch with, they have listened to broadcasting.
Good.
Some that I talk to.
Well,
I know what you're doing, sidekick. You're trying to get people.
But I
have gotten people, but never, they've never been talked talking on, like, on the show. But they might be listening. I have had
who the alternate for?
I'm sure that I have.
And someone that I love you here being interviewed.
Four or five.
Wait.
What the heck is talking?
Wait. Who, Jimmy? Who's ultimate?
What are we talking about here?
Stephen King.
Oh, gosh.
Stephen King now.
Well, yeah, that'd be a good guest. He's huge.
Well, I'm trying to get Jerry Williams. Yeah.
He's big time.
Anybody that's popular over and about what they are would be even. Let's say this. It would boost my content on my show.
It would.
It would pop it up from, let's say, a 3 to a 10. Or 3 to a 12.
You're my favorite show host, so if that means anything, you know, I always look forward to hearing you.
Oh.
There you go. Uncle.
That's a push. Well, that's
good.
Nice. That's good. That's on me.
Yeah, I like that.
See? I ain't even got
that. I'll tell you how to get a crap load of new audience and probably guests. And it'll probably only cost you $50, Uncle.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it costs, guess it's what? It's time for shout-outs.
If we were making money on this show, then we wouldn't have anybody going to work.
You know,
this guy wouldn't be going to work by now.
It's time for shout-outs, guys.
If we're doing this on a pay stand or payment of a pay thing.
PayPal.com.
That's what I was saying.
PayPal.com.
PayPal.com.
It's actually time for shout-outs, guys.
Okay.
What? Shout-out?
Shout-out time.
On this time already? We're having this conversation about all these other people?
Yeah.
And now
like that. Let's go to Jimmy first.
Jimmy first.
Who you got, Jimmy?
Well, I don't have a shout-out. I was just going to finish my thought.
Fair
enough.
Nice.
Idea.
Go ahead.
If something any one of you three might want to consider, don't listen to me, but if you donate to someone, if you spend $50 on someone like AJ Benza, he'll read out your crap. So donate $50 to AJ Benza, and at the end of his podcast every once in a while, he goes through and, for instance, he could say, Chuck O'Chelly, the blind JFK researcher, bam, that's all it takes. You would have hundreds of thousands of people want to know who in the devil that is.
That's true. Right, think about it.
As one.
That's true. That would work.
What do you think of Cameo, Jimmy? You know about Cameo?
Oh, God.
Huh?
Cameo. You know about Cameo?
I know about it.
Okay.
Camel milk?
No, Cameo.
Milk.
OnlyFans?
No, forget it. Never mind. I'm not doing a commercial for Cameo, all right?
Cameo?
Yeah. But you can pay celebrities to send you a special message recorded. No problem. Only a couple of bucks. Yeah.
No, all I'm saying is you spend $50, this guy's got like a podcast with, let's say, 7 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you spend $50, he reads out the $50 and above donators once in a while. So, for instance, he could say,
I get it.
$50 from Chuck O'Chelly Chuck O'Chelly, the blind JFK researcher. That would intrigue people, believe me.
Mm-hmm. No, I get the principle. But what I'm talking about is there's a thing where you can actually have celebrities come on and, you know, and record something for you, a special message. And it costs less than that even. You can get some of them for like $20.
$20. Yep.
Yeah. To, you know, come on and say whatever. I was looking at, a couple of different celebrity voices recently for different reasons. And, yeah, you
well,
get
I had Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman did it for me for 30.
There you go.
That reminded me.
Oh, you got a reminder.
Pee Wee Herman. Oh, jeez. Oh, man, yes, sidekick's getting excited here. If we've gotten him, that would top it.
It would be good. Yeah.
That would be all that right, would okay. be all
I'll
need.
I'll make that happen, Uncle. I'll
make that happen. That'll all need. Right. Now, come to think of
it. I'm going to look into the AJ Benza thing, though.
What in mind? We now have things in mind.
I'm
going to. We're talking here.
Yeah, I'm going to look
into that's a very good
my
idea.
My mind's drifting.
I know it's drifting. So
I'm going to look into the AJ Benza thing, but there you go. So we're over time. But I'm going to look into the AJ Benza thing off air.
Yeah, but I don't think he has 7 million listeners.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Whatever.
Anyway, I just want to say my shout out is to Aaron and Chuck and Jimmy and the incredible uncle. Mm-hmm. And just donate at ocelli.com if you can. And till we speak again.
And we also have Uncle, Age of Transitions, and Ocelli t-shirts over at theageoftransitions.com. The link will be in the show notes.
We're waiting.
There you go.
I'm waiting.
That's what
I'm
meant to say, too.
I've been waiting. I should
Everybody's
say.
Waiting.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
They are. They are. So thank you, everybody. Yeah, UncleThePodcast.com is the website here. At Uncle Podcast, Instagram, Twitter. Uncle, why don't you bring us home for the week?
There's our show, 188 show. Bye-bye.